Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk. I'm Patty Gresher. Today, I'm talking with Judith Dickinson Ackerett, author of The Die Cut Cozy Mysteries. After more than 20 years in a variety of careers, including work in accounting and criminal investigations, and as a composite artist, Judith turned her attention to writing cozy mysteries. But writing is only part of her creative life. Judith is also an avid paper crafter, and she teaches crafting classes to adults with developmental disabilities through Crafting with Judith. She lives with her husband, Jerry, on the Central Oregon coast, where gray whales and four cats are all part of the scenery. Judith, welcome to Northwest Book Talk.
Thank you, Patty, and thank you for inviting me here today.
So before we get into the mysteries themselves, you've had a wonderfully varied working life. So how did you go from criminal investigations, accounting, and composite art to writing cozy mysteries?
Well, actually, if I were to be honest, it started with my sister, who is also an author. But she wasn't back then. It was 2018. She called me up and she said, I think I want to write a book. And I talked to her for a while and hung up. And then I said to my husband, I could write a book. And so that's the beginning of Scored for Life, the first book in the Die Cut Cozy Mystery series. I just kind of mapped it all out. And there it was.
So obviously, as a mystery writer, you had some, advantage in that you had a criminal educational background. Tell us a little bit about that before we get back to the books.
I worked in a detectives division with detectives back then. And my captain told me when I rotated up there from the records division, he said, you won't last 3 months. And I proved him wrong. I was there for 11 years. And I worked primarily with high crimes like murder and rape and burglary and assault, major assaults and stuff. So I transcribed a lot. I was able to learn how to use interview skills from sex abuse detective, because he was very tall and children just didn't want to talk to him for some reason. And I learned all kinds of skills and what detectives do. So it really helped. And when I started the first book, Scored for Life, I actually went back and had coffee with the homicide detective that I worked with and said, okay, I've got this dead body. What am I seeing here? What am I going to do as a detective? Because I never went out in the field. The detectives did. I was in the office all the time. So that was a plus for me.
I think it's just amazing what kind of a background you have. I mean, just being involved in the whole beginning, you know, how you're alerted with something, how the whole solving of the mystery goes. I think that would be great. How did you feel? Did you feel that really made a difference in making your story more authentic?
It did. When I started writing, I wanted to make my cozy mysteries more realistic, more human. The characters, I want them to be somebody you would like to know. And that's one of the biggest comments I get is people want to move to that city, Bridgewater Harbor, and they want to live among these characters. And that's a compliment. So I'm in the right direction. I'm working the right way.
Yeah, I'm enjoying your book. You gave it to me and I haven't gotten to the final end, but I've been anxious to get there. But one of the things that I like about your books that you bring in a person with Down syndrome. So tell us about how you wanted that to be part of your book and how you brought it out in such a real way.
Well, my sister Donna had Down syndrome. She passed away in 2015. And I wanted to do something that you don't see people with disabilities a lot in cozy mysteries. And I want it to put, you know, there's no reason not to. And she's very, Marie, the character Marie is very high functioning, has no family until she came across Danny. I just love putting her in there. There's a couple of people at Edwards Center, where I do crafting classes, that remind me of Marie. And so I kind of put their characters into her.
What I like about that is that you don't downplay it. You don't make them stupider than they are. You know, you really make her as, you know, being able to contribute quite a lot to the story and still being, you know, a Down syndrome character. But, you know, I think sometimes we kind of wipe that off like, oh, they can't really enter into the conversation or something. But she really does in your book.
She does. And that's real typical of Down syndrome.
That they can enter into conversations or what do you
mean? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that's great. So what were some of the challenges that you found in writing the book?
I'm a big procrastinator. So that's my biggest challenge. I have to get in the car and go drive around by myself to kind of formulate the next chapter. I always know what the beginning's going to be. And I always know the ending line of my books. And I kind of work in the center to bring it all together. So I'm one of those right by the seat of your pants type writers.
So let's talk a bit about maybe some of the encouragement you got from your sister. Were you both writing at the same time, or did she finish her book first and then you started, or how'd that go?
Well, it's sibling rivalry. I finished my book in 4 months, and she took a couple of years to finish hers. So I just had to get my book out. It was in my head. I just had to get it down on paper. And the second book, I think, took a little longer, about a year and a half. But by the time I got through the second one, then people started saying, when's the next one out? I was writing them for me just to see if I could write. Now I seem to be writing a series, and I have another series coming up.
So that's cool. So tell us a little bit about that, and then I want to go back into this first series.
Well, the town is Bridgewater Harbor. I mapped out the whole town and everything. And so the next series is going to be another group of characters, but they're still in Bridgewater Harbor. They're kind of on the other end of town. And they are five old men are some of the main characters, and they're a bit taken. Their personalities are taken after some of the detectives I worked with, and they are former police officers, retired police officers, and they own a coffee shop. So without giving away the rest of the story, that's where we're starting on that one.
Okay. And what's the name of that? What is it? Is it a series name?
I haven't named it yet.
Okay. So we're right at the beginning on that one.
At the beginning.
Yeah. So let's go back to your cozy mysteries that you have completed. How many have you done? And then let's talk about how you brought in the crafting into the mysteries.
Well, I have four books so far. Crafty Elves of Christmas is my latest book. And Annie Weston is the main, she's the protagonist. She is the paper crafter, and she owns a paper craft shop called Ocean Loads of Paper. And she teaches classes there also. So a lot of my paper crafting you'll see in the classes. You'll read about that in the classes.
So what do you think, how did you get started with paper crafting just a little bit, and then why you wanted to include it in a book?
I've been paper crafting and doing art type craft all my life. It's something I think my mother taught me. So she was always interested in that. So I just started out with learning how to make boxes from a lady on YouTube called Linda Parker, Crafting with Crafty, and she's from the UK, so it was a lot of fun to listen to her accent and learn how to make boxes. And from there, it just went on. I'm making notebooks. I do boxes and cards. I do a whole line of greeting cards that are popular at bazaars. And so now I just started using puzzle pieces in my greeting cards. So always looking for something new.
Yeah, that's very fun. So let's talk a little bit about getting your whole book out into the world. So obviously you wrote it. Then what was your next steps after that?
Well, my husband is my publisher, and he put it out on Amazon. Both he publishes my sister's books also. And you know, it was good because he kind of kept me on track. You know, you have to do it this way and this format, and this is what where it goes. And so he's doing all that for me, and he's great at it.
Oh, that's good. It's a husband and wife team here, so that's great. Yes, very good. So what about getting your book into the public eye? Because I know anybody can put a book up on Amazon these days and it just sits there, you know? So how do you get it into the hands of readers? What's your promotional, what I'll say, capabilities, or how you go about doing that?
I'm terrible at marketing. I'm actually on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. I have, I go to book fairs and I go to bazaars. I tend to sell more at bazaars. I can sell quite a few there. And I was at your Northwest Book Talk fair. And just basically, I give out a book to somebody who says they want to read it, and just, that's basically my marketing. Like I said, I'm not good at it.
Well, I think really live events nowadays are really what's differentiate the authors from succeeding and not succeeding, basically, because there's just so much competition when you're out there and on Amazon or, you know, that kind of thing. Let's talk about a little bit about your booth and how you set it up, and you probably include some of your crafting as well.
I do, because it's just a part of the books, the paper crafting. And so I think it's important to kind of have giveaways. And my husband also 3D prints some little books that have sliding drawers in them. And I try to do something different all the time. I try to set it up differently. There are several bazaar places that I do really, really well at, and I try to go there every year, but I limit it to one or two because I'm doing so many other things right now that interfere with my writing that I you know, life is short.
It is.
It's only 24 hours in a day.
Can you tell me if there are some things that you did at your live events that kind of made your event more successful than maybe the very first time?
I think it's the giveaways that I have with the book sales. I always try to do treat boxes or different things, that bookmarks and things like that, that really help with people like giveaways. They like anything for free. So, you know, if they buy a book, they get something special. And I try to make it special.
So I'm just going to ask a personal question. Do you think that this has been a break even, or are you actually profitable with your books, or is this just more of a hobby like most of us? So.
I'm really writing the books for me. It's kind of my way of, I'd love to become a script writer. So this is my way of developing characters, and maybe someday I'll write some scripts. I mean, I'm not just sitting on the books, but yes, this is more of a hobby for me. It's more for me. And if people enjoy it, I'm thrilled. It's just a way of being creative.
So you have very fun book covers. Did you do that, or is your husband, or is that a combined effort there?
No, my covers are done by DLR, Donna Rogers, DLR Covers. And she is brilliant. She will listen to you and come up with the design that you want. And I just love what she does.
Yeah, I think it's they've got a nice carry through. They're colorful, and they're definitely cozy. So let's see, I'm trying to think about questions for what made you decide that you wanted to stay cozy rather than getting into a little deeper mystery?
I really like, first of all, I like mysteries. I love mysteries. I have, ever since I was a kid, I have a complete Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys series in books. And I've always liked that it was light. It wasn't about murder all the time. And I want to do books that aren't always about murder, but maybe a mystery. A crime might have occurred. But I wanted to keep things non-gory. It's easier to sit and read in an afternoon a book that's just got fun characters in it, and they're doing normal things. They're not outrageous.
Right. I like your characters are, it's kind of unusual. Usually they all seem to get along together, you know, except for, you know, there's a few other characters, but for the most part, everybody gets along together. And sometimes that's not, I don't know, so often in any kind of a mystery book, you have all these characters that are always interfering and not understanding what's going on and all messing up everything. But your book seems to flow with everybody like helping one another and getting along. And do your readers appreciate that?
Absolutely. I think they're looking for something that doesn't stress them out. And we're just reading for fun. And yeah. Those are the comments I get are, I love your characters.
Yeah, they're just nice. They're real people without having to be antagonistic, I guess I would say. So what are some of the challenges, though, that you found getting from, you said you had the start, you know, the ending line. What were some of the challenges to make that whole story pull together and actually get the mystery solved?
It's making it realistic and not absurd. And when I was writing the Crafty Elves of Christmas, I really struggled, and that took me a while to get out. I really struggled with the magic of Christmas versus, you know, anything unreal. I don't know how to explain it. I didn't want it to seem too mystical, but magical.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what about, let's go a little bit into world building. So you already live on the Oregon coast, so you've got a plus there because we all love the Oregon coast, at least I do. Would love to be there with you. But so tell me how you built this magical city, or not magical city, but this cozy city, and how living on the coast itself actually influences that.
The Bridgewater Harbor is actually... there's like three little towns along the coast, the northern and the central, where I took bits of what I liked about their little towns and then created. And I actually drew out a map of the city and drew out how it was formatted and what you saw from the windows of the shops. And the shops, the main building that Annie's in, the shops have two doors, an ocean door and a street door. And you'll hear that referenced frequently. And I want to, it's my own fantasy of a perfect city on the coast.
So what's the difference between the fantasy city and the city that you live in?
It's, you see the same gray whales, you see the same coastline, except that the buildings are a lot different. It's a little cozier, and the city I live in, it's a highway running through it. So I'm seeing a view when I write. I write, and I'm often distracted by the Coast Guard coming out and doing their practice, and the whales and the whale boats, the whale watching boats. And so, yeah, it's, this little town, I don't think you would see that much like that.
Uh-huh. So that's fun. So I'm trying to think of some of the challenges. You wrote the book, you published it. Let's see. When did you start first writing, and how long have you been doing the writing of the cozies?
I started in January of 2018, and I have four books out now. And then starting to work on another series.
Yeah, so that's good. So let's talk a little bit about going back a little bit to the developmental disabilities that you teach crafting. Do you teach crafting to people without disabilities, or do you just kind of, is that kind of your sweet spot?
I really enjoy teaching crafting classes to adults with developmental disabilities, like Down syndrome and autism. And my niece has autism, so I'm working with her on a project, just with her, on taking photographs and making greeting cards from those photographs, because she's really good at photography. So I'm, even with my class, I try to find out what they're good at, and we work on those crafting projects.
So let's talk just a tiny bit about your sister. She got her books published, and do you go to some of the events together? Does she live close to you, or what? How does that work out?
Well, yes, I'm currently the event coordinator for the Hillsboro Elks Holiday Bazaar, and she is one of, I always have her in there with her books. So her name's Deborah Menenberg, and she writes Uniquely Stella, Uniquely Us, and The Test, and Uniquely Traveled, I think it's, maybe she has four books out. And she writes differently than I do. And I think she would be an awesome script writer, but, you know, she likes to write her books. And she's always written funny stories. I guess our family has always been writing, even my mother. My mother kept journals, so it was fun to read through those.
Well, I want to talk now. You mentioned that you're the coordinator for a bazaar. How did you do that? What are some of the challenges? Because I think that's a great way for an author to really get visibility is to, do an event themselves. So let's go into that a bit.
Well, I'm working on three different events right now. One of them is a haunted mansion for Edwards Center, which is houses and services adults with developmental disabilities. And that's a private function, but my husband and I do the haunted mansion in there. And we set up, my husband's brilliant at creating these little animatronics, and we have all kinds of stuff. And then I'm doing the Holiday Bazaar November 7th at the Hillsboro Elks. And that's, what are the challenges? Not so much getting the vendors. The challenges are getting the donations for the silent auction and the raffle. And that's where we make a good amount of money for charity. The charity is Edwards Center. And then I do a crab feed, which is just for the Elks. That's really fun. We're doing a Hawaiian theme this time. So yeah, I love to create. I don't want to do the same thing twice. And I guess that's some of my problem with writing, is I don't want to do the same thing twice. I want to make it a little different.
Yeah, well, that's always good. But at least you have the same characters. At least, you know, they might have different things that they have to cope with or whatever like that. So,
well, when you if you read more of the books, more of the series, you're going to get deeper into more of the mystery of the house. The house has a lot of mystery.
Okay, yeah, that's fun. So that'll be great to go into. So I want to cover just a little bit more about your events. So how do you publicize like the bazaar that you work with, and how do you get people to come to it?
I don't seem to have a problem with getting people to come. It's advertised all over the place. I learned how to set up events from a woman who ran the Kenton, which is in Shoals, the Kenton Bazaars. And she would just have postcards everywhere. So I made up postcards and I set them all out everywhere I can go. And I advertise on event sites for bazaars, and there'll be a lot of them. And then word of mouth. And we try to advertise through the Elks, and it's just getting it out there. Now, if I were that good at getting my book information out there, I'd probably be wealthy.
I don't, you know what I think it is? It's because you're doing it for someone else, and it's always a little bit harder to do it for ourselves. It's
Boy, at that's least right.
I think it is, at least for women. Maybe it is for guys too. I don't know, but it seems to be a thing. So let's talk about your postcards. So you create them. Where do you put them? You said, you know, that's a great thing that almost any author could do.
It's coming up with the post. I went through a company to have postcards with my first book. I think I had my first book. That was the only one I did. And I had it on a postcard. It was the whole book cover on the one side of the postcard. And then on the back, it told about the story and how to get it. And I dropped those off everywhere. And that seemed to help. I like that. My sister, on the other hand, does bookmarks. And she takes them everywhere. And even at dinner parties, dinner events, she will place them on all the tables. Okay. But she's a little more bold than I am.
But I want to go a little deeper. When you say everywhere, what does that mean?
Places will have bulletin boards. Stores will have bulletin boards, grocery stores, and I'll put them up there. And anywhere you go, you talk to people, you just hand out your card or bookmark or postcard. And it's just kind of talking to people, and it gets it out there. Not that everybody gets your book right away.
Right. Oh, well, for sure. But so you're talking about hand delivering your postcards, not just, I mean, other than the bulletin boards, of course, that's, you know, whatever. But you're actually a little bit more proactive in starting up a conversation with the postcards.
I do. Yes. And I know other people have newsletters, and I just don't know what to say all the time in newsletters. So I don't. I mean, I'm terrible at getting my information on the website. So I should probably start doing that again.
We always have so many we shoulds, right?
Yeah. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, right. So we could write a book on that or a series. Definitely. Yes, Lee. But I really like the postcard idea because that is very easy. How many postcards do you start with?
Oh, probably about 50, and I put them in my purse, and I just kind of wander around and hand them out and leave them laying somewhere. You know, it's not a big push.
Yeah, no, but I think it's a push sometimes that I think sometimes the little pushes, we don't really realize how effective they actually can be. So, yeah. So anyway, my guest today has been Judith Dickinson Ackerett, author of The Die Cut Cozy Mysteries and another series coming soon, we hope. And so you've been listening to Northwest Book Talk. I'm Patty Grasher, and you can find this interview and more conversations with authors at northwestbooktalk.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Programming on KXRW is supported by our partner BKB Marketing Agency, your local source for Kameno Island coffee. Since 2000, Kameno Island Coffee Roasters has been dedicated to roasting organic shade-grown, fairly traded beans. Through their Coffee Lovers Club, fresh roasted coffee is shipped within 48 hours, supporting farming families around the world through direct trade relationships. To order Kameno coffee locally, email bkbmarketingagency@gmail.com.
Furry Friends is a Vancouver, Washington 501c3 nonprofit, volunteer-run, no-kill cat rescue and adoption organization. If you would like to help save cats and kittens in the Vancouver-Portland area, there is a need for finances, goods, cat foster parents, volunteers, and adopters. Please visit their website for wish lists and other ways you can help at furryfriendswa.org. That's furryfriendswa.org.